I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, as ever, and as ever, this is Marek Larwood.
Hello there, and also we're joined today by a very frisky Buddy the dog.
You can probably hear him breathing heavily there.
Half of the heavy breathing is coming from him, the other half is from me.
It's an erotic experience for me, sandwiched between the two of you.
Well, not literally.
Not literally sandwiched. Can you literally be sandwiched? Is it not always a metaphor?
Literally is one of the words I've been using too much. As well as essentially and as well as like.
And virtually.
And virtually. And actually. Every time I say those words, you're allowed to come up to me in the street and you're allowed to put one punch in the face.
Wow. Or if you want to play the Film Fandango drinking game, whenever you say virtually, actually or essentially, then you drink.
I was on the bus listening to... not of my own choice, I had to listen to two loud teenagers.
Yeah.
And the like, saying like count has gone up.
How much are we talking now?
Every other word was like. It's awful.
I mean, it's obnoxious. They'll grow out of it, though.
No,
right?
But you can't. But I've started saying it. It started to spread. The word like, someone said.
A virus.
Yes, I think it is a virus.
It's like raising your inflection at the end of your sentence. It's like that. It can be really catching.
And they say do that and like. This is that the English language is gradually eroding.
Well, it's just it's a new virus. There used to be a virus, and it's still prevalent amongst a load of people, forgive me for swearing, of basically saying the word fuck every three
but
words.
That's become... You know where... There's a thing, I used to be, sorry this is not film related, but I used to be a foreign language teacher, taught English as a foreign language, you know, a TEFL thing, which is what you do when you can't get a normal job over here and you work as an actor. And the word, the fuck, sorry to our 9-year-old listener, is the most flexible word in the English language. It can be noun, verb, adverb,
yeah.
And also other things, which I've completely forgotten.
Yeah.
But like, it's just used to...
Well, to bring it back to films,
yes.
Ever so briefly, do you remember in the 70s and 80s where it became almost a cliche, a convention of structure, that you'd save the word fuck to be said once in the final act to show just how much a character was passionate about something?
Yeah.
And then Tarantino changed the rules on that one.
Was it him?
Well, he was part of a trend, probably.
Certainly
uses it a hell of a lot.
A lot of the...
He legitimised it by having films that were good art saying fuck all the time.
Things like Goodfellas and stuff, a lot of Italian mobster films said.
Yeah, that Scorsese's probably to blame as well.
Yeah.
Well, to blame is whether you think it's a problem. But certainly I remember it being used rather sparingly previously.
I don't notice it as much now.
No?
I'm more offended by the word like than the F-bomb. Hey, but we're not here to talk about swear words.
No.
We're here to talk about films. Now... I've pretty much been to cinema every week for the last 2 years or seen something on Payers Demand that's been new release. I think this week has been the worst week for cinema in the last 2 years.
What's come out?
Well, the things on the cinema, which I didn't see. The Other Woman.
What's that? That Cameron Diaz thing?
That's a Cameron Diaz comedy, which I looked... Or I'm just guessing it's awful because it seems like one of her comedies. The Love Punch, which is Emma Thompson and Pierce Brosnan, Timothy Spall trying to buy the Grey Pound. Amazing Spider-Man 2, not interested in Noah. I would not interested in any of these films.
Has Pompeii come out yet?
No.
And has that not? Okay.
My local cinema didn't have any good films, so I just stayed. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to watch. I'm going to buy something online that was supposed to be quite good. This was featured in the top 10 of the National Board of Review or something, which is the American, pick up the top 10 films of the year.
Mm.
It was The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Okay, so what I know about this is a Ben Stiller film that had a very, very odd trailer campaign.
I remember...
him begging you to watch the film.
It was, yeah, I talked about it before.
Him and Kristen trailer. Wiig, wasn't it? Sort of... supposed to be sort of kooky romance about a man who lives inside his own head too much.
I'll tell you about it now. So, Life of Walter Mitty, it's about...
take Matt out.
I want to say that. It's based on a fictional book, I think, quite a famous fictional book. It's more famous in America than it is here. But Walter Mitty's a fictional character, someone who... I've not read the books, of a guy who used to have his fantasies, not erotic, but just doing... weird things. So it's a real sort of remake of that, with Ben Stiller playing the lead, Kristen Wiig, who you'll know from Bridesmaids, who's sort of quite in vogue as a new comedy woman, plays his love interest. And it is, how would I describe it? I would best describe it as a load of shit.
Well, I had an inkling it was going to be a load of shit by the fact that there was a desperation to the publicity campaign. And it's sort of... it came out ages ago and it's still sort of dribbling out. It's still
it came
sort of
out,
all
it,
over.
It came out on Boxing Day, I think, in the UK.
Really? That long ago?
Yeah. And the advertising campaign was the oddest trailer, because it was, like you said, Ben Stiller just almost begging, like he's got making a Kickstarter film to go and see this film. I think he's one of the producers of it. It feels... as you can tell by the sirens, we're not at my house, we're back in David's house in Camden.
Crime City.
It felt like a totally cynical, in the way that bank adverts, for those of you listening outside of Britain, bank adverts now have seized upon playing this sort of whimsical, nice music that they're not threatening. And they're trying to be your friendly, and everything's warm and cosy. And
lots of sweeping shots through the sky. And
lots
stuff.
Of green landscapes and happy characters trying to make out they're really there for you. This felt like a film that was made by the cynical advertising people about what you want. And it was had no depth to it. You only enjoy this film, I think, if you had a lobotomy or 14 years old. It was saying, oh, hey, Ben Stiller plays a geeky bloke, so by geeky he's wearing... I might give away a few more spoilers than usual because it has been out for a while. By geeky, Ben Stiller's wearing a tie, that means geeky, and he's a bit of a loser, and he works for Life magazine, and he...
what a loser.
And he's a loser who works for Life magazine, doesn't really fit in, and he's got a huge job there, like he's in charge of the photo department.
Prick.
So
what, photos in Life magazine?
Yeah, well, the most...
no one buys Life magazine for the photos.
They've stopped doing it, but it's on online now, but this is when it was a magazine.
Okay.
So he's a bit of a loser doing the job that doesn't fit. That's one of the I think there are more implausible bits to the whole story than plausible bits in this whole film.
Okay.
He's in love with
Kristen Wiig.
And she's also on eHarmony. So rather than saying that his love interest is on a dating website...
specifically eHarmony.
And he even has a phone call in a relationship with someone who works for eHarmony. I'm not even saying eHarmony as many times as eHarmony is mentioned in this film, which no doubt was sponsored by eHarmony. I mean, it's more important that we say eHarmony than actually to deal with the plop of the... plop, which is in
the plop of the film.
That's quite Freudian. And not only that, but he used to work for a pizza chain. Can you guess what pizza chain?
Domino's?
No, Papa John's.
Okay.
Papa John's pizza chain. I mean, if you did work for Papa John's pizza chain, when I was a teenager, I don't normally mention the name of it.
Yeah.
If I did work for Papa John's, I definitely mention Papa John's quite a lot and have Papa John's in the background, as well as eHarmony. That is a bit what it's like, this film.
So why has Ben Stiller struggled to get this film financed so much that he has to have done so much product placement?
There's product placement in it, and it is so sickly sweet. And it's patronising. The cinematography is good, some shots are beautiful, but there's no plot. It just almost seems like a vanity project of this guy who's a loser because he wears a tie, and someone else, these bad guys with beards, take over Life magazine. He decides to go on a life adventure, and then...
Guys with beards. Are we talking sort of terrorists, no, like Die Hard, just, or just evil
really,
lawyers?
Evil lawyers, sort of marketing people, take over Life magazine. They've all got really bad beards, and they're all two-dimensional and not really that funny. So they're so evil that... And Ben Stiller is so pathetic with his fantasies and so naive that you sort of be on his side. I mean, he's almost retarded. And yet he's got this really important job looking after this the photos of the magazine. And one of the photos goes missing. So he tries to track down the photographer who's going on a ridiculous mission somewhere.
Right.
I mean, rather than just phone him up or find out where he's going.
Yeah.
You'd have to...
Get the email that he sent it in.
Don't do that. Just go off.
Okay.
Just go off to Greenland and just guess.
What's Kristen Wiig's job?
Her job is to be really two-dimensional and smile and...
I wish I was paid to do that.
And fall in love with Ben Stiller, even though he's given her no grounds to fall in love with him.
It's very common, that trope, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just... the romantic interest really is an idiot. Like, they love you despite of your personality.
He's done nothing, nothing to charm her at all. I'll have you know, that's very much not the case in real life. But he's having a good old scratch in the background.
Good old scratch.
And there's one bit when he goes, I'm just going to talk about this film because I'm hoping that no one watches it. There's one bit when he goes to Greenland and a volcano erupts.
Right.
Before that, they want to somehow get a skateboard into the plot. So in his bag, he's got a Stretch Armstrong, which is a cuddly toy that stretches for no reason.
Yeah.
And just unrelated, he sees some kids playing on a huge sort of designer, really expensive skateboard outside a hotel he's at. And he offers them to swap a used toy, retailing in about £30, maybe $40 at the most, for... a top of the line sort of longboard skateboard. Just, do you want to swap this skateboard with us? Yeah. I'll swap my really expensive skateboard for a stretchy
Armstrong.
Yeah, stretchy plastic toy.
That's a toy at best for dogs, and at worst for like 5-year-olds.
If your parents found out that you'd swapped that with some bloke had swapped a toy for something that's worth about 200 times in value of that, they go mental. It's pretty much stealing, but that's not mentioned. It's just that is how lazy the plot lines are in this film.
So what is this skateboard for, product placement or for a lazy attempt at adventure?
It's attempt at adventure.
Okay.
Do you know what, just watch an eHarmony advert and then watch a Papa John's advert and then get someone really patronising to describe a love story to you. That is pretty much it. It looks really nice. It's shot really well.
Well, it turns out there's a lot of good cinematographers out there and not very many people who can tell a good story.
I don't understand this. I don't sort of understand this film.
Who's it for, do you reckon?
I think it's for Ben. It feels like it's for Ben Stiller's ego.
He used to be great, though, didn't he? I mean, I was a big fan of Something About Mary, Zoolander's wonderful. You know, he was sort of an interesting, quirky comics lead role, wasn't he? And I mean, I didn't enjoy Tropic Thunder that much at all. I thought that felt like a vanity project.
Yeah,
really. It didn't feel very funny. Apart from Robert Downey Jr., who was fun, but not as great as everyone said, Jack Black was just tedious in it. And
maybe I'm just becoming old and cynical. I do realise that, and I'm probably filmed out. But
you should take a holiday from films.
I need to take a break from films and just go and read some books and
watch some plays.
Yeah, go and see some plays.
Well, maybe Film Fandango should be about plays for a week.
Please bear in mind, I do hate everything, but. It's probably not as bad as I'm making out. I just thought it was lazy. If you want something mindless and unenjoyable, but it felt as though it was made as an advert. I can't believe they lost money on it because it's just so much so much placement. And the message, I didn't like the message. The message was, oh, I've lost my job. Why not go on an adventure and go on holiday and go to a really exotic place at the last minute? Let's go and do that. In reality, if you lose your job, your skin...
You don't have any money.
You're worried about where you're going to live. You can't afford to buy them anyway because house price is absolutely ridiculous and just owned by...
Just go on holiday, mate. What are you complaining about?
Go on holiday.
Just go on a really expensive adventure holiday.
Get a flight to Greenland. How much? What, last minute one? That's about £2,000.
God, just live your dreams, mate. Yeah? Just live your dreams.
And the improved Ben Stiller is him coming back, having a bit of a tan, wearing better clothes. So even though he's got no money, he's wearing sort of... just sort of designer hoodies, like sort of All Saints, really nice, tight fitting, trendy. Not like if you're unemployed, you start wearing all your shit clothes that are really old. You
not haven't like got any money to pay. He ran out of cash somewhere in the middle of Tibet and that.
I would love to see the real story of someone tries to live the life of Walter Mitty, quitting their job and going travelling with no money and see how they end up, you know, selling a kidney, getting bummed by some.
Oh, bums in the kidney hole.
Bum by some Russians in a boat in the Arctic Sea.
Oh, man.
That's what would happen to me.
I don't want to see that film. Bum boat.
It would be called the real life of Walter Mitty. Bum boat, yeah.
Bum boat. Colon bum boat. Colon boat.
The real life of Walter Mitty, colon bum boat.
Okay. Yeah, I mean... It's probably not going to get made now because Walter Mitty's been made. I mean, but
I just feel, and I don't know whether it's getting older, it is partly that, and watching TV and watching these films, is that a lot of it is catered for really stupid people. And I don't think in the 80s, I think there were sort of mainstream films, but things like Ghostbusters, Gremlins, and you know all the sort of cool 80s films had a little, were a bit more tongue in cheek and a bit more.
But there's plenty of stupid people to enjoy, but it wasn't exclusively pandering to how they imagined stupid people would react. Generally, it was like there's enough here for stupid people to enjoy themselves, but people who aren't stupid will like it as well.
I'm not saying I am stupid. I admit that. I'm not saying more intelligent. I think it's just patronising. I think everything's being dumbed down.
Yeah.
And it's scary, and it is true. You can say you're being a snob and being cynical about it, but it's just the amount of films I go and see in the cinema, I just think, God, I'm not a fucking idiot.
It's not quite as simple as being dumbed down. I think it's a lack of sophistication with the plot, and sophistication isn't something that is only the intelligentsia would appreciate. I'm talking about a well-told, well-crafted story, whereas if you just fill it full of cliches, sort of echoes of burps of things that you've consumed before, it's not going to be good for anyone. You know, you recognise it and it's familiar, but it's not actually any good. It's never going to endure. It's not going to endure for stupid people or clever
people. That's the problem, is that there's no... I think, speaking to my friend Paul, who's a filmmaker who's been on the show, Paul Allen, he's writing in his next... He did one film we got reviewed ages ago, and he's doing his next film now, writing it. It's all about writing things.
Yeah.
And it's really hard not to write a two-dimensional villain, a two-dimensional... Because no character is purely... It seems when you try and write a film, the terrible films have one central character and it's just what they want to have, their motivations and their...
And everyone there is to serve their story rather than our real characters.
Yeah, and it's quite difficult to have... And
but it's also, on the flip side of that, if your movie is going to be under 2 hours or just over... You can't have everyone being as three-dimensional as your protagonist, because then you've got protagonist issues, because you're spending as much time with the secondary characters as you are with the first. So the balancing act of that takes, it's a real art.
And that's why box sets have probably become so much more popular.
Yeah, you've got so much time.
Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, where you've got, admittedly, some characters are two-dimensional, but there are so many.
Well, if you look back at sort of one of the, you know, possibly the... certainly a big exponent of where we've gone with box sets. Band of Brothers was a huge deal in terms of changing the model of things. Well, it's wonderful because it cost a lot and it was very well written, but every episode followed another one of the characters and gave them a story. They were a character who were around in the first episode and second and third as a secondary character, and then they became protagonist for the next one. Mm. So by the end of the series, you knew everyone so well.
It's good to have complicated characters. I mean, Walt White from Breaking Bad is a classic example of someone who maybe wouldn't, he's not considered, he's your, you know, anti-hero, and also, and he changes, and you see the circle of characters around him make it all more interesting. Similarly, in Game of Thrones, I don't know if people watch Box X, Tyrion, who's played by Peter Dinklage, is wonderful because he's not conventionally sort of good.
Yeah. But there must be stories that are best suited to a cinematic 90-minute to 2.5-hour format rather than spending, you know, 20 hours with these people. You know, there must be those stories that fit that time scale, you know? An event movie. I mean, of course there are. We've watched movies that are fantastic before. They wouldn't warrant being a mini-series. But it seems at the moment that there's a lot of production of very good TV shows and far fewer well-told cinematic stories.
I have to say, while we're talking, David is grooming Buddy with a Furminator.
Yeah, grooming in terms of getting rid of his molting hair, not trying to attract him on the internet.
To be honest, I mean, Buddy is very forthcoming, so he wouldn't even need much.
No, it calms him down and stops him scrabbling at the windows, wanting to leave and barking at other dogs. So he likes, just like, I mean, I can do it to your back hair if you want.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I'd be interested to know your thoughts.
Okay.
I give it 3 or 4? 4's too generous.
3 Marics. Hey, you've got to use those first 3 Marics for something.
3 Marics, I give it.
Okay.
I'm interested to see what people, if it's just one of the films maybe I caught in a bad mood.
I get the feeling nobody went to see it. Just from, you know, I've not heard anyone talk about it.
Yeah,
but
it was a weird release time.
Interesting.
As well.
Yeah, I mean, it's very odd. I thought the trailer gave far too much away as well. It felt like you'd seen the whole thing and you didn't want to go through it now.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's special. Maybe if you're really, really bored and you need something uplifting, if you're about to go travelling, maybe you can watch this. This will get you in the mood.
Is the soundtrack a lady with some sort of ukulele or?
No, it's things. It's just popular songs that you...
What, Katy Perry?
Everything in it feels as though it's picked because it's someone's imagined, they trying to think of what they think people think is cool.
Yeah, rather than they're writing it out of personal experience.
Yes, I don't know if I'm being too...
I want to watch this now just so I can hate it with you, I think.
I don't like films that seize that ground of trying to be... So, like Richard Curtis, in later Richard Curtis, is guilty of just trying to automatically thinking they've got your films, automatically thinking they've got your respect in that field already, just purely from their previous films. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, his previous films were fantastic, and I love the fact there is now an online Richard Curtis backlash against his idea of romantic love, of basically being a stalker, is what he thinks love is.
The last one, the Time Traveler, I didn't like, but I loved, you know, Four Weddings, Notting Hill. I even like Love Actually.
Well, Love Actually is the one that people are attacking.
But I don't like his latest ones. I haven't seen The Boat That Rocked, though, because that looks
you can't watch it anymore.
Why, has everyone been destroyed?
Well, I think actually it's something Adam and Joe touched upon, but it's basically... creepy 70s DJ boat is what is. Yeah, so it's just young girls going on a boat filled with old men DJs and they lech on them, so it's never going to be shown on telly again anyway. That's a film that will be forgotten by time.
So if you want to write in, how do people do it? I mean, We haven't had many letters for a while. We really enjoy getting our letters in.
We do. If you'd like your letter read out in the podcast, then please email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, about anything that's been on your mind about films, about a specific film you saw, or one you're looking forward to. Maybe you'd like to have a rant about remakes. Maybe you'd like to say remakes are the best thing ever. Whatever you want to do, really. dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you're a bit, you know, you can't be bothered to formulate whole paragraphs, then why not go to facebook.com/filmfandango and write on our wall, post something there. Maybe you want to post a link to a video or some cats dressed up as Han Solo. Who knows? That's filmfandango. Or you can just, you know, abuse us in 140 characters on Twitter @filmfandango. Or personally @MrDavidReed or @MarekLarwood.
That is nice. Oh, we have had something on our Facebook wall. The other week we talked about Philomena, which is based upon the novel by Martin Sixsmith. Here's an email. I don't know if you want, because you're a high level reader than me, David. If you want to read
it, I'm on the red books.
Yeah, it's from Simon Skoltok. I think he's a regular contributor.
Skoltok!
He's written. In.
Okay, pick a voice for Simon Skoltok.
I would like you to read it as an evil villain. He sounds a bit like that, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I keep on... He must get that Skullcock thing, mustn't he?
Skullcock?
When you say Simon Skoltok, it sounds a bit like that. I'm sorry,
Skoltok!
So I imagine he's a bit like Skeletor.
Skeletor was sort of camp and RSC in the film.
There we go.
Okay. Watcher David Merrick and Buddy, I have read The Lost Child of Philomena Lee, the Martin Sixsmith book. It's quite different from the film. Rather than following the journey of Martin and Philomena uncovering the identity and life of the missing son, Michael, it is a dramatized account of Michael's life based on the facts that Martin uncovered. Other than her story at the beginning, her time in the convent, which was in the film, Philomena isn't really in it until the end, and then only briefly. So it's mainly about Michael's sexuality and relationship, his rise in Reagan's homophobic government. Reagan, rather. Sorry, I didn't read ahead. And the difficulty therein, and his death from AIDS. There is also some dramatized stuff about a guy in Ireland who exposed the scandal of the baby selling by the nuns. It's a good book. If the film had followed the book, it would have been an awful mawkish load of arse. And that is from Simon Skoltok. Thank you, Simon, for your message. Yes, I still haven't seen Philomena, but Merrick, you have.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
You can go back and find that, and also any of our other podcasts on iTunes, and normally they label with what films we've seen at the start,
yep.
Don't they?
Yep.
Hey, have you seen a blooming film at the cinema?
You know what, Merrick, I have, and you are going to be so disappointed with what it is.
Was it an art film?
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't Rio 2.
Was it a French film?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, what was it?
It was The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yes. Yes!
This has got one of the most uninspiring posters I've seen.
Oh, I quite like the poster. Because he's upside down, isn't he?
Well, maybe it's over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Maybe you should buy it and put it on your wall or something then.
Oh, I do. I've got the bedspread.
What's it about?
The Amazing Spider-Man rebooted Spider-Man with the origin story last time. Andrew Garfield is now Spidey-Man. With Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy, his girlfriend, and this one carries on the story that actually, yeah, there were some strands set up in that first one that they are carrying on in this one, like it's a proper ongoing saga. But we've still got the mystery of who the secret behind who Peter Parker's dad really was, and the ongoing relationship problems between Peter and Gwen Stacy. But there's a new monster in town.
Oh no, just when you thought things were going all right.
They just were going all right, weren't they? And then bloody Jamie Foxx turns up playing. It's interesting you were talking about Walter Mitty being a nerd by they put a tie on him.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Foxx is basically playing Dwayne Dibley from Red Dwarf, if you've ever seen that. Danny John-Jules' nerd character. He's got, buck teeth and terrible hair.
Sounds like Bowfinger.
It's basically, that's exactly what it is. He's playing Bowfinger, who nobody likes him, and he's always ignored at work. He works at Oscorp and is a rather high-powered scientist who designed an incredibly elaborate electrical system, and yet they still treat him like a janitor. He's not that badly treated either. It's sort of a sanitised bullying that's going on with him. Anyway,
to make sure he got the 12A certificate.
I think so. Or they just weren't creative enough. But in the opening sort of action sequence, Spider-Man saves his life when someone else is rampaging around with a gun. And he becomes obsessed with Spider-Man, thinking they're best friends. He's a sort of lonely psychopath.
Are they?
No, he doesn't even remember his name next time he sees him.
That's what they're like, these superheroes. So fickle.
But late one night, Jamie Foxx falls into a vat of electric eels and turns into Electro.
I wonder what would happen if obscure deaths did actually lead to you becoming a superhero. You know, they've got the Darwin Awards, people who died in stupid ways.
Yeah.
If rather than dying, they became sort of massive, you know, people get huge...
everyone who's been killed by a shark is like Shark Man.
Just the first.
There'd be a lot of Shark Man about.
The first person.
The first one. The others.
If you have a really unusual, if you're the first person to have an unusual death, you become a superhero.
So Princess Diana would become Princess Tunnel.
She wouldn't be that, because she wouldn't be the first person to die in a tunnel.
Oh, okay. Right, you're talking really obscure deaths here.
Yeah, it'd have to be involving some sort of monster as well.
Yeah. This Electro is a ridiculous character. He actually sort of evolves into a being of pure energy who can just turn into...
Is it done in CGI and just a bit rubbish?
Wholly CGI, yes. It's the CGI, you know, it's good, but it's glossy. This is the style they've gone for. Everything's a bit dark, but it's sort of... It's almost neon, where the blacks are really black and the colours are really colourful, you know. And that is my main problem with this. I mean... Your problems with superhero films aside, you know, if they're a good story, I like them. I like an adventure. I like a, you know. Mark Webb is the director of this one. He directed the previous one as well. He's very good, I think, at the relationship stuff.
It's a good name for a director of Spider-Man, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. And the stuff with Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker is very good, and it's sort of feels slightly... ad-lib dialogue, and it feels very natural and you feel like you know them very well, and then it breaks to have basically a cartoon action sequence for the next bit where Spider-Man is wisecracking telling jokes, which is straight out of the comics. That's what kids liked about him. And then it goes back to him being a guy with immense emotional problems and he's actually really unhappy, and then he goes back to wisecracking and flying around all over the place like a cartoon. And the two, for me, don't really mesh.
Sounds like it should be
mesh.
Bipolar Man, not Spider-Man.
Exactly. Exactly.
How do you rate Garfield compared to Tobey Maguire?
I prefer him. I think he's... Tobey Maguire I've always found a bit off-putting.
Well, he has a weird sort of googly-eyed smile.
He's got a face like he's trying to... he's trying to eke out a small fart without you noticing.
His face is made of clay.
Yeah, just he's got an odd facial expression.
It's like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Bit startled.
Human, yeah.
Andrew Garfield is better. Like, he's a good Peter Parker, I think. I just don't find the character that interesting. You know, he's a kid.
That's the thing. Peter Parker's always a kid in these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in the
He's 16 in the comics.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought he was older.
No, his whole thing is that he's a teenager. I mean, that's... Spider-Man.
He lives with Aunt May.
He lives with his aunt because his parents died because he did not take responsibility for his own actions. Blah blah blah.
I read the original Spider-Man comics. You can get batches of the comics, can't you?
Yeah.
Marvel released of big compendiums. So I think I've got the first two Spider-Man ones. They're really good. Really funny.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're trying to capture. You see, but I don't think that meshes necessarily with the whole Dark Knight approach to superhero films that everything's gone. And that's what I'm saying about there's a mismatch. The dark sort of properly emotionally in you know, there's a kind of depth. I mean, we're not talking any great new stories being told between Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker, but it's at least engaging and interesting on a real way. It's shot like it's, you know, it's beautifully shot rather than excitingly shot. But that doesn't make for a wisecracking superhero. That's in the wrong genre, I think. You know, it feels like Spider-Man would be better off being in a film like Thor or Iron Man, one of those.
He probably will be seen.
Well, it's interesting you say that. There is a sequence at the end of the credits that, it's not a spoiler because it's nothing to do with the film. You know, like with all of these, they in the Avengers ones, they had Samuel L. Jackson recruiting people as they went along and blah, blah, blah. At the end of this, there is what seems to be a teaser for a Mystique movie, as in Jennifer Lawrence. Now, what's interesting about that is that the X-Men films are being made by Fox and Spider-Man's made by Sony. So they seem to have teamed up to advertise each other's films within their films. So I don't know what's going on there.
What superhero would you play out of all of them, do you mean?
Out of all the superheroes, I like Beast. I've always liked Beast. He's never been done well because he always just looks like a bloke with fake blue fur glued to his face.
Do you think you'd play Beast?
No, I don't think I'd play him. I just like him.
Who would you play, though?
Oh, God. I don't know. I'd probably boringly be Cyclops. People are always saying that to me.
Cyclops?
Yeah. He's the
one with the laser eyes.
The leader who's sort of a bit straight-edged and does the right thing.
Yeah.
Who would you be?
Cyclops as well.
I think, who would you play?
I don't know who I'd play.
I think you'd be quite a good Wolverine. You're quite cross. You've got a lot of pent-up anger.
Wolverine is too much of a... I'd never play the main character. I'd be a sort of a weird one.
You'd be a sidekick.
Yeah. I'd be like Dog Shit Man or something like that.
You could be Toad.
I don't want to be Toad, but that's exactly who I'd get. The one who sticks to the wall and stuff like that.
Yeah, he sticks his tongue out and stuff. You could be the Blob.
I don't really like the way this has gone.
They don't tend to be bald.
I'd be the Green Goblin.
Okay, he actually makes an appearance in this one as well.
I love the Green Goblin.
He's done a lot better than the Willem Dafoe one as well, because everyone was disappointed with the Willem Dafoe one because the casting
face,
of Willem Dafoe.
Who plays in this one?
I'm afraid I don't know his name. He is the kid who goes mental in Chronicle. Did you ever see that? The footage superhero film. And so he's perfectly suited for this, really.
That strange sound is Buddy with his air bone.
That is a squeaky toy you can turn the squeaker off. So that's what you're hearing is the...
Wow, that's what they've done. Squeaky toys you can turn...
You can turn it off.
So, has it ever been... Once you've turned it off, does it ever get turned back on again?
I haven't yet.
That's what happens. I bet there's... All... It does sound like a furious sort of man getting angry.
He really wants it to squeak.
That's... What? I don't know if you can hear that, listeners, but it does sound a bit like Wolverine psyching himself up before he gets into going into a fight.
Yeah. I think you'd be Wolverine. I don't think you should beat yourself up about this. I think you'd make an excellent Wolverine. You're sort of hypnotised by the dog.
I'm hypnotised by this weird sound. By the non-squeaking, squeaky toy. And it's getting louder as well. With that in the background, how many damage would you give it?
You know what? For me, it's an identical film to the previous one, where some of the human stuff is good. There's zippy dialogue and it works, and you the characters, I think they've got stronger than some of these other superhero films. The baddies in this are so cliched and by the numbers in terms of their journey. They don't make any sense. They're not doing anything for any reason. We're just waiting for them to be defeated. It's identical to Reese Ifans in the first one, who was very disappointing. Not his performance, just the character's arc. And Jamie Foxx is exactly the same in this one. It feels like the villains are an afterthought. Like, there's something that's also going on. So I'd give it 5, I think. 5 or 6.
That's still quite high.
Well, you know, it's Mark Webb has directed it very well. I don't find... It's amazing. I don't find Spider-Man that interesting. I don't like teenagers with powers. I don't find that... Because Peter Parker never does anything a teenager would do with them.
Why'd you go and watch these stupid superhero films? Anyway,
I'm a completist. I feel like I have to know about these things in order to...
It's like my mum. She just... I said, what are you reading? I'm reading this book. I don't even like it. It's like 500 pages long. Just give up on a book about 70 pages. You're condemning yourself to it. That's even worse. My mum's even worse doing that.
I'm a big X-Men fan from the comics. So I sort of want to keep abreast of it all. I know, it's pathetic. You know, I do get a certain amount of enjoyment out of them as well. I like an adventure thing. I think they are getting better as well, slowly, these films. Mm. But, you know, I think Mark Webb's done a brilliant job. I think the cast are all great. I just think it's saturation. We're getting this story too many times because there's only so much deviation you can do from a superhero story. Mm. And for me, Peter Parker is less interesting because the interesting thing for me about someone young and immature getting powers...
So I'm just laughing at the squeaky toys there. Sam, sorry, carry on.
The interesting thing about someone emotionally immature getting powers would be their misuse of them, which is exactly what they do in Chronicle. But his whole mantra is, with great power comes great responsibility, so he never misuses them. So I don't get what the point of him being a teenager is. I don't get the character.
Well, there's two pretty average films there this week. Next week, if you want, we're going to get a guest.
Wait.
Rob Deering's going to come
Mr. Rob Deering, who knows more about films than we do, so that'll be good.
And I think he's going to, if you want to watch the film ahead of next week, I think he's going to bring in Midnight Run,
the Robert De Niro film. So yes,
and I'm going to pick I'm going to pick a straight documentary to watch.
Okay,
for us to talk about next week. I'll have a look and see what's out there.
Alright, well, I look forward to that. We'll be back next week.
I'll tell you what, if you want to help with the funding of this podcast, we do it for free to help pay for the hosting of the web online. It really helps us out and helps us put it towards cinema tickets. Thank you all for all the people who have donated, but people who want to donate, it's really appreciated.
Yes, it really does help us to keep going with this. If you'd like to donate, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. And everyone who has, thank you very much.
Great. Well, that's Buddy's gone absolutely mental. I think you better take it for a walk.
It?
Him, I said, him.
We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.